Kevin Durant makes his requirements known to return to the Brooklyn Nets, and owner Joe Tsai gives an immediate and definitive response. We break it all down next.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, it is the Locked On Nets podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single day. Over there, you're going to find the owner and operator of DFSR. That's Doug Norrie for all your daily fantasy sports rankings from DraftKings to FanDuel with the NFL just around the corner. He's got you covered. I'm Adam Arbrick, breaking down the New York Football Giants on the One Giant Podcast with my boy, Andy Makowitz. We thank you for making us your first listen of the day, free on all those great platforms. And let you know, today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. You better believe that BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. And Doug, where we're going to dive in, we'll get to it here in a minute as we fumble around a little bit on the top. A lot of energy. Maybe it's manic energy that we're having here. As we know, yesterday we covered Kevin Durant. The meeting with Joe Tsai asserts that it's basically him, or it is Sean Marks and Steve Nash, and almost immediately, Joe Tsai comes out with definitive support of the GM and of the head coach.
Yeah, Durant came in and threw shams, dropped the dirty bomb all over the situation just to make sure there wasn't going to be like any survivors, and like the place was going to be uninhabitable after you left too. Like, you know, God forbid someone moves back into the place after you're done with it. Like, it's not good enough just to leave. It's just you got to make sure, you know, you go scorched earth for the rest of it. Nothing else shall grow here. But then Joe Tsai does respond. And if you go to Joe Tsai's, Twitter feed, it's lacrosse thing, the State of the Union for the Nets basically responding to his thing, and then a youth basketball tournament. So that's what's going on. That's what's all going on over from the billionaire owner of the Nets. Tsai's comment was, "Our front office and coaching staff have my support. We will make make decisions in the best interest of the Brooklyn Nets." I have a million thoughts on this, but when you saw that, what were your thoughts when you saw that this was sort of, this is how this thing might end up playing out in the court of public Twitter, possibly going forward?
Ah, the old court of public Twitter, where all the great debates get settled. Yeah, I think obviously when we talk about, and we discussed it yesterday on the show, how this may have been the presumed stance of Kevin Durant, but this was now, let's bring everything out into the public. As we know, Shams Charania, the player's voice in a lot of ways when it comes to news breaking around the NBA. So, okay, now it's out there. But if you thought that there was any sliver, and there's actually a little survey over on Twitter we'll get to in a minute. If you thought there was any sliver that this was going to then maybe force or suggest to Joe Tsai, I need to take a step back here and reevaluate where my stance was around these conversations with Kevin Durant. Again, the immediacy of Joe Tsai's response to this, just it made it feel like, yes, as it was reported, they were productive, transparent discussions. And also, neither side looks at it any differently than they did when they walked in the door for that meeting.
Yeah, I guess I'll get to my opinion of how, like, the mechanics of how this is playing out. I will say, just from a high level right now, I think we can be pretty clear that this is not going to end with Kevin Durant on the team. I think I can feel pretty definitive saying that. I've had a million changes of pace and heart around the situation over the last few weeks. And we talked about it plenty about where we thought the situation ultimately would land. I do think after this, and we kind of intimated this on yesterday's podcast when we first responded to the Kevin Durant piece from The Athletic. But I think following this, I just don't see a path. And Tsai coming out and basically saying it in so many words, which is, I back the front office, you know, that we're going to make the best decisions that are in the interest of the Brooklyn Nets, which, I mean, fans and media alike had an absolute field day with this one. Like, just, yeah. This was like the perfect lob where everyone just windmill dunked at home in terms of content, because it was just, it really was. I mean, it really was just like him and Nash and Marks just, you know, threw a lob at the dunk contest and just let everyone else kind of do the best thing they could with it. But in general, this just speaks to the state of where they are right now, which is to say so far apart, organization that does not feel like there's anything can be mended with when it comes to Kevin Durant. And I really think now this is the kind of thing, I mean, especially with Shams's piece and then Sy's response too. This is one of those situations where you can actually just see it, and we felt it with the Durant comments, or they weren't Durant comments, but they might as well have been.
Yeah.
Where everyone is just going to dig their heels even further. It's like playing with a dog with a chew toy. It's like, oh, you're going to pull that way? Well, I'm just going to pull the other way. That's just what we're going to be doing. There's not going to be any rhyme or reason to it now. Now it's just going to be like, you're going this way, I'm going that, because it's definitely starting to have the feel of that kind of situation.
Yeah, and in that sense, because essentially it doesn't feel like this wasn't new, I don't think. And one of the wrinkles to this was whether or not you looked at it as new step forward, or that there is a real conviction behind Kevin Durant saying it really is me or the GM and the head coach. We can get into that, I think, in a minute too, about whether or not it's really about Sean Marks and Steve Nash, or if it's just the means to an end. And now, again, the public support from Joe Tsai for the GM and for making the best decisions for the organization. Kevin Durant putting out this further narrative to what you speak to. It just feels like this is what I said I wanted. This is where I stand on both sides. And the only thing you're going to hear from us is further commitment to those positions. Now it's just about, are you willing to maybe go radio silence as from a public perspective and wait until this plays itself out? Because we know from an NBA standpoint, the phone calls are still happening. The discussions are still occurring. It's just how much of the public fodder do you want to be attached to that? And in that regard, if Kevin Durant was willing to take the next step forward in making this a bit of a mess in the public sphere, so was Joe Tsai. Like, he's not going to sit here and have it be, you want to say it's about me and what my team does or my GM? Okay, I'm going to tell you that we don't feel any differently about it and we're ready to move forward off of this. Now it just comes down to how long does it drag out before a move gets made, I think, ultimately.
Yeah, and I think, and you know, coming up here, I'm going to give, I have others just sort of like, and I know you do too, longer opinions around this kind of thing, and also just the tone of the fan base, because I think it's completely one-sided around where the fan base lands on this one. It's like, it's almost to a startling degree, which honestly could have more long-term ramifications for this organization going forward when it comes to trust around, look, sports fans are sports fans, I get it, like, the thing you think you'll think forever rarely ends up being that. You know, it doesn't take much, but this one's going to be hard, I think, to come back from. But you know, besides that, which we'll get to here shortly, the part where, you know, I was of the mind of, like, you know, when it's all quiet, no news can mean good news sometimes, right? And no news can mean that there's the possibility for things to get rectified. It's a massive bummer that this is how it comes out. I think you're totally right where none of it was news, except that it was just when people wanted to start letting others in on the facts of the situation, right?
Yes.
Because you can't, like, because here's the thing. What we can't ever do, really, is trust athletes' quotes about things. And it's not their fault. I'm not even blaming them. Like, you know, when Nash comes out when Durant comes out in, you know, backing up Nash to end the season, saying he dealt with a lot of stuff. And, you know, there was one of the closing press conferences with him and Kyrie, and he's like, hey, we got dealt a bum hand. I'm paraphrasing all this stuff. It sounds good in the moment, but what you realize is, I don't know, it's just a lot of these are just sound bites, and the reality of the situation is usually much different. And I think that is the part where it was always hard to suss out exactly what was happening. But now it's so definitive around it that now that there's no more doubt to be laid out here, it just becomes, it does feel like the doors are completely closed. And now it's just a matter of, like, when, or how, not when. No, excuse me. When, not how.
When,
like,
not
it's just, when, not if. Right, sorry. Yeah, I could get all my little nouns there confused. It's just a matter of, like, now when's it going to happen? Because now the next tweet, what's the next tweet? It's just going to be about the trade. Like, there's nothing else to be mended. I don't see how the organization or Durant pivots at all from here on forward.
And to your point, just the last piece before we kind of move into the high-level perspective around the organization maybe as a whole is, the end of the season comments, it is that thing where when you get asked Kevin Durant about the head coach, well, what will we all say, regardless of if you think Steve Nash is a terrible coach or not? If he came out and said, yeah, I didn't love the coaching, boom, all of a sudden that is the narrative and that's the story and what's the issue and how is it going to get resolved? So when you give a boilerplate response, hey, a lot of things went on, it's difficult, whatever, I don't think you shouldn't be anyway holding a player's feet to the fire around those statements, because everything else only begets more of a media frenzy around it. So it is a very pigeonholed kind of opportunity for players and organizations, especially at the end of the season, especially after getting swept in the start of the playoffs with everything for the expectations around this team, to then come out and say, now give me some really well-digested thoughts that you have around everything that's gone on, not even just this year, but since you joined this team. So coming up in a second, we can obviously dive in on the organization as a whole and maybe how ugly, I think, is really the next question. How ugly does this get before it gets resolved?
All right, before we get to that, got to talk to you about our friends over at BetOnline. You got to go to BetOnline right now. BetOnline has a whole section right now about this Nets fiasco, and I'm going to go through some of what is offered here on BetOnline. And this is going to give you the whole, right here with this BetOnline piece, is going to give you the whole story about what's going on with the Nets season. BetOnline is obviously the number one source for betting. So here we go. Durant to be traded before the start of the regular season? Yes, plus 150. No, minus 200. Maybe they're not going to be traded. But we go over here. When will Kevin Durant get traded by the Brooklyn Nets? Between September 1st and the start of the regular season, plus 125, and you keep going down the things. Here's one that's going to worry some people. Will Ben Simmons play for the Brooklyn Nets in game one? Yes, minus 300, plus 200 is the no. I don't even want that to be up for debate. I don't want that to... come on, BetOnline. I don't need to be worrying about that part of it. Like, I don't need to have... It should be, you know, 100% to zero. Don't even put it up. Why are we even hanging something on this? That's just some of what you're going to get over there at BetOnline, your number one source for all of your betting action. They got all the trends, all the stuff you can need. Obviously, NFL right around the corner. Rolling through Major League Baseball. They have tons more here for NBA, too. They really piled it on for NBA over the last couple days. So head on over to BetOnline. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Okay. So we're talking about the pulse of maybe the fan base here on this as well. I love a good poll. I like to, you know, see what people are thinking about it. And we had a little bit of fun with this because our good friend of the show, friend of the network, Jackson Gatlin, took no issue as the host of the Locked On Rockets podcast, just throwing a little bit, I think, of dirt on our grave. Not great.
He's dead.
We could
to
have
me.
A problem. Yeah.
He's dead.
Yeah,
to no, me. I'll never talk to him. I'll never talk to him again. By the way, Jackson, if you're listening, those Sunday requests, they're over. The Sunday Oops. Locked On NBA. Oopsies. Oopsies. Oops. I guess I didn't see the email.
now that being the case, though, because and I only bring him up to say I had a little bit of fun throwing him in on if whether or not he's a part of the blame pie with what went wrong with the Brooklyn Nets. But when you looked at it as I put Sean Marks and Josiah together, and maybe breaking them up would have made it even more interesting. But then I threw in Kevin Durant and even the NBA gods. And I think that that's actually like it's silly, but also valid. And sometimes things just don't break your way. Right. The proverbial right break, wrong way, sometimes it goes against you. And it seems like the Nets have had a difficult time ever since they got Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. 47% for Sean Marks, Josiah, 28% for Kevin Durant, and almost 20% just on, yeah, maybe this is just the way it was going to fall apart. You said that it was very one-sided, though. I'm assuming that you're looking at it as everyone is like, Jesus, I can't believe, and I know what the talking point is, you're going to hang your hat on Steve Nash, a coach that could be fired in a year, and that's why you're going to give up on Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I mean, this is so one-sided to the point of just, it's not surprising to me, but if you just take one trip around, and I know you're out there, you're probably thinking the same thing, because nearly 100% of the people that I've interacted with over the last couple of days have had this thought, is that people want Nash and Marks gone yesterday. Like, they want them gone right now. Like, if it's a choice between Kevin Durant and your GM or your coach, in the fans' eyes, it's not even a question. It's like, what are you doing? Especially with Nash right now, especially like Nash, Marks, I want to put them in slightly different classes here, because Nash has been, a subject of the fan ire for a long time right now. And it's hard to defend them. So the only thing you can defend on him really, honestly, is that it was never all together and it's been an absolute roller coaster. And that's like the one piece of defense. I'm with it that it's very hard to defend them in other ways, but you know, that's worth some defense, but not all of it. And then even Marks, who, I don't know, I would say the fan base is polarized about where they stand with Marks over the last couple of years. I've been generally pro Marks, but with the caveat, like we talked about yesterday, that there have been some high profile mistakes. But in terms of, like, I'll tell you right now, it's going to be anarchy among fans. If this season, and it's going to start like this, is that we're going to start season day one of this season, you know, going by this Josiah tweet and whatever, we're going to start day one with Nash on the bench, Marks in the GM office, Durant gone, and people are going to be apoplectic about it. And it's hard. I'll tell you right now, I understand why you wouldn't fire them. Totally. I understand why organizationally Josiah wouldn't just go fire people, which, and I understand it to the point, which I know why he's not going to do it. That is not how people see it right now. And they are going to now, these two guys are going to be the face of why Kevin Durant left. And that was not something that the fan base will ever shake. They'll never shake it. It's over. It's over.
Well, and by the way, I'm just going to say, again, Kevin Durant is justified in no longer wanting to play for the Brooklyn Nets. I again assert that it has nothing to necessarily do with Steve Nash or Sean Marks per se. Like, in reality, I think that that is the representation of it. I think you're 100% right. It's very hard to defend Steve Nash. The case that I would make here is that put Coach X in place of Steve Nash, whoever that may be. Maybe not the Greg Popoviches of the world, because you come up against a little bit more of pushback around that, but almost any other coach, how would you feel about it if it wasn't Steve Nash and what has generally been a very unsuccessful start to his tenure as an NBA coach, right? Anyone that had previous NBA coaching experience coming into the job, the Vogels from the Lakers of the world, right? Anybody that you just felt like, hey, he got fired as well, as we know, but here's a guy that has a track record. Because Steve Nash doesn't really have a leg to stand on, it's very easy to point at him as being and say he's the problem. Likewise, I think that the weird thing when it comes to looking at Sean Marks specifically is, on the one hand, everyone looked at him and thought, very successful, one of the better GMs in building up to land the superstars, and something that will continue to flesh out over the next couple of weeks. What the perception really changed once you had the superstars, and it felt like there was some kind of disconnect around what, who should be brought in, what should the personnel be, what type of offense are we running, is this the best head coach? And those questions, I think, are justified, but they're tied into the fact that you started to give up, I'm calling it power, but you started to cede some level of decision-making control to the superstars. I'm not saying it isn't what you should do, but I think that's shifted the narrative around what Sean Marks is a GM, and that makes it easier for me to say. I can look at Steve Nash and just say, the sample size of coaching, I can judge him on that right now. There could be ways where it gets better. Sean Marks, I am very, very comfortable saying, I loved him when he started. Things got really weird when they got the superstars, and I'll be very curious to see what he does going forward coming out of this. Like, I can still look at him and think that he can be the architect of another successful rebuild for Brooklyn.
The hilarious part about this is that none of this even matters if Kyrie and Harden don't get hurt 2 years ago in the playoffs and they just win the championship. Like, this is where all this stuff sort of changes, because I would contend that the superstar issue was not really an issue when they were just absolutely crushing teams leading into
never
those two
guys. Never is when you're winning.
What's that?
Never is when you're winning, right? When you're winning.
Well, culture is just about winning. I hate to like break it to everybody. Culture, the word culture just means we're playing better than anyone thought we would. Like, that's culture.
Right. So whatever level the ceiling is, hey, we're outshooting our mark here, and that's what makes us.
Yeah, and so
culture.
The ceiling for this team was the championship, and that's it. The ceiling for the D'Lo group was like make the play, or not the play in that, like was make the playoffs and, you know, fight through your way to getting swept in the playoffs or whatever. Maybe you win a game, and that's this, and that like looks great. It looks why the culture is great. They just didn't hit their cultural mark because they didn't win the championship. And that's that's the biggest problem. And that sometimes can be the end of it. Going back to Nash for a second, you know, when you talk about superstars, the thing that's different here is that coaches get fired all the time because of superstars. Like, all the time. Like, that happens every season. Every season, the best player on the team, some version of the best players on the team don't like the coach, and that coach gets fired. But it's never said. Like, it's never, no one ever comes right out and says it, or it's never really reported in such a way, or it comes out after, or something like that, right? Or it comes out because you just know
what's going on. Coach X and the team have mutually agreed to part ways.
Yeah, or just like, or everyone writes the hit piece later, you know, a week after, that lets everyone know about what happened. This is one of the few times where it's coming out before, and it looks like the organization is going to stick with the guy, meaning the coach. And this is why, like, every organization would be at odds around this stuff if it played out in the public sphere each time. LeBron's gotten coaches fired. Like, everyone has. Everyone's gotten coaches fired. Everyone that's like a superstar at some point has, not everyone, but most have had a coach move on because of them. It just never plays out that way. This is playing out now, and so it actually is dividing the fan base. The fan base is never usually having to choose between the superstar and the coach because the coach always loses. This is going to be one of the cases where the coach wins in some way. and probably won't be the coach in like a year or two or whatever, and that's going to be right. even worse pill to swallow. But that's why this is just a situation that, again, makes you pull your hair out. I'm never for firing anybody because I don't want anyone to come and fire me because someone had a bad day or whatever, like so, right. you know, from different jobs. So I'm never fire them. I will say this is one of those impossible situations, and it's very hard not to side with Durant on this because you don't get many bites at a guy like Durant on your team. I don't know. I got to say something else about Cy here in a second, but I'm getting fired up about this other part.
No, and that's why coming up in a second, I'm going to explain what should have been the path forward for both the organization and Kevin Durant in this circumstance, and also hear Doug's additional thoughts on one Joe Tsai. Okay, so the one thing before we get to your point yeah. about Tsai is, it, like, I completely understand this idea of, like, you're going to, quote, give up on Kevin Durant for Steve Nash, right? It's like, good Lord. Like, what? Steve Nash, the head coach, right? We're like, good Lord. However, let me just make this statement first. The way that this should have been handled, it should have been what I just said about when coaches and organizations part ways because a star didn't want them. And I don't mean whether or not they should be firing the head coach and should be firing the GM. What should have been said by both sides was Kevin Durant and Joe Tsai had a meeting together, and they've mutually agreed that a parting ways is in the best interest of the organization and of yeah. the player. And yes. they're going to continue to work to come to a resolution that works for both sides. That way, regardless of how the fan base is going to react to it, it doesn't make it look like right. the organization's hair has been lit on fire and they're sprinting around the kitchen trying to throw oil on it. And Kevin Durant doesn't look like a guy that wants to be striking matches and throwing them on the carpet on his way out the door. I don't think it serves either one of them positively in this scenario. There is a little bit of the reaction piece back and forth, but that's my first and foremost. You can go into Joe Tsai here, but I just think like it's like you should have just said, this is where we're at. We understand where both sides stand, and we're going to work through it. And that's how it's going to be resolved. It would serve the organization to still look like they come out being well-run and they manage to negotiate a difficult waters here, and Kevin Durant gets to go to another team where you think the championship-level expectations are that much higher and he can achieve his NBA goals.
Yeah, it should have gone down. It usually goes down that way. It didn't go down this way for whatever reason because Durant feels like it's not happening fast enough, or he feels like they're not going to take it seriously and they're going to bring him, make sure he gets brought back in. And then he's going to feel like he's going to look like the bad guy, which he was starting to look like, right? It's like, hey, we got a good team here. Like, you know, we got all the pieces to win. You should come back. I'll tell you right now, from a marketing standpoint, this was a brilliant move by him. He's no longer the bad guy. Like, he's no longer, just go look at how this is being treated online. He is no longer the bad guy, at least in the eyes of the fans. He is just
the only thing I'll say is I don't think the percentages. I think there was always the majority percentage thought you do whatever you need to satisfy Kevin Durant in this situation. There's a smaller segment of the fan base that says quote unquote organization first. If this guy doesn't want to do it, the heck with him. Get him out of here, the bum. Like all that kind of stupid crap.
Yeah, I think that. I don't think
those percentages moved at all. You think it moved?
I think so. Maybe we're just pulling this in from different places.
But I just what I mean. Like it only feels like this circumstance only further entrenches you to whatever your perspective was coming in on it.
I think it just more put a face on the reason Durant wanted to leave, and that's driving people nuts. And I think that's the difference. It's like before it was, oh, you know, sit out, you know, play for the contract. We got a good team here. Oh, it's just because of these two guys you don't want to be here? Well, that's easy. Get rid of them. I don't think before they had a mechanism by which it looked reasonable to keep Kevin Durant. I still don't think this is reasonable because they're not going to fire these guys. But I don't think.
Well, here's a stupid question too that I'll pose to you. It's like, again, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be willing to fire everybody to keep Kevin Durant. But then, what is the expectation a year from now if Kevin Durant doesn't like the new GM, any superstar? Yeah, if they don't like the new GM, yes, and they don't like the new head coach, and then he goes to Joe Tsai and he says, I don't like these guys either. Let's try somebody new. Even if Joe Tsai said, hey, these are the guys that you wanted, so you're stuck with them, it would still be any superstar be able to say, yeah, but I don't want to be here
this
now.
Is why you
so
can't
now
do
you
it.
Have to move on again. Yep.
Yes, this is why you can't do it. And so, because it's that exact sort of devil's bargain that you make. It's like, yeah, we do it now, but you've already shown you do it once. You just can't. You can't, and they can't do it, and they won't do it. But in terms of just how this thing was handled, like that was problem not one, although I do see why Kevin Durant might have done it. But then to double down, like when we have organizational discussions like through Twitter, it just looks so low rent. I kind of get why Sai did this because, like, you know, throw it out there, leave no doubt. But we're going to, like, debate this in Twitter. You're a billionaire. Like, just go have a discussion in a boardroom. I don't know. It's just so weird. It's so weird. Why would you do it? Why would you, like, all it did, you know, it pits the fan base right back against you. They, you know, like, this kind of thing is like, we're going to do what's best. You phrase it in a way where if you want to do what's best for the Brooklyn Nets, what you do usually for the best with Brooklyn Nets is have a guy like Kevin Durant on your team. So it's phrased super poorly in terms of organizational outcomes. And just, I don't know, take the high road. I don't even think Durant took the low road, but just you don't need to just get back out in these streets and do it. Having this, like, what's Nash going to do? Jump on TikTok and give his response? Like, the whole thing is so.
15 seconds or less. State your case to be the head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. Go.
This is what it does. It points to an organization that's sort of rudderless. Like, it points to an organization that doesn't seem like it has a clear path or plan. When you have the owner tweeting support of a GM and a coach, it just looks like no one knows what's going on. Like, no one knows. Just go tell the guys that. Like, go tell the guys that you support them. You don't need to tweet about it. It looks so bad. I usually don't go crazy about this, but it just looks... there's a reason owners don't do this stuff. Just, if you want to be a well-run organization, have these discussions internally. Just show everyone's faith. Move on. Soldier through it. Putting it out in the public sphere is frankly, as far as I'm concerned, as bad as the nuclear bomb that Shams dropped. That's just because it just makes everyone look bad.
Well... and here's the thing about it, too, because I do agree with you. Like, for example, if that exact statement came out from the Brooklyn Nets Twitter handle and was like the Brooklyn Nets organization, you know, owner Joe Tsai met with Kevin Durant and they're going to move forward, whatever Joe Tsai believes in the organization, that comes across differently than when it's from the individual. I think of
have it come
Nets
through
owner,
Woj.
Steve.
Have it come through Woj, who didn't say anything about this yesterday. If you read Ethan Sherwood Strauss's stuff on this today, which is brilliant, like ESPN went dark for like four hours because they couldn't even talk about it. It's crazy. This is nuts.
So here's the one thing too, because again, the overall the sentiment is like, man, what a lot of chaos. I will say too, though, it's that like now when you hear that Shams Charania reports what basically Kevin Durant demanded in the meeting, and then we normally would hear from Woj what Joe Tsai had to say inside of the meeting. We're not guilty of it, but we do it. We say, man, we had to take all the news coverage around this piece instead of like the direct from the source. I don't like Joe Tsai going on Twitter and being like, I love my organization, we love the GM, like whatever it is. This very one-to-one direct response. However, I don't hate the idea of rather, why does it have to be filtered through everything else? Because we also do dissect that in a lot of ways. Okay, Kevin Durant any superstar wants this to get out there. So here it comes through Shams Charania. Okay, the ownership or Sean Marks or whoever feels this way, here it comes from Woj. Maybe it would look even weirder if it had been Kevin Durant and Joe Tsai in a direct Twitter, just a Twitter conversation.
I was waiting for it. I thought that was going to happen. I thought he was going to retweet it with a response. That would have been very on brand for KD. Like, that would have been...
Well, and there you go, though. And that was kind of my point, too, around all this stuff in general. This is just a life observation, right? And I mentioned Steve Cohen because he's very active on Twitter. When fans are like, I can't believe you didn't go get this guy in free agency. He's like, well, I'll tell you what the deal is. And he comes right back in it. I think that all of these things, it is all very... public digestion and Kevin Durant and a lot of athletes. And I get it because we talk about it too. I got to sit here and watch everyone flog me in the public spectrum and I just got to sit back and not say anything. No, I'm on Twitter. I can respond to them. What it ends up being is a bit of a dumpster fire, though, when these things go on. Right. And there's a reason why the behind the closed doors, where we'll find out in 2 months what really went on as things broke down between Kevin Durant and the Nets. That's more digestible because everyone gets to move on from the pain of the moment and then say, well, the trade happened. Here's what the Nets got back. Here's where Kevin Durant is now. And guess what? Here's an article from Shams. Here's an article from Woj breaking down how things all fell apart. It's very hard to take information in the moment for as people covering it, as people reporting on it, and as the players and owners and GMs involved in it, and everyone try to go, oh, okay, everyone just calm down here. And I'll go back to what I said here at the top of this segment and just say, working together to find a resolution that works for all involved. We're all disappointed that we weren't able to achieve our goal of a championship when this team was put together, But unfortunately, this is where we are now, right? Like, that would have been the clean-cut PC thing that let everybody walk away as clean as possible. And then, just to close out on, the organization would still be obviously heavily scrutinized, rightfully so, over what happens now going forward with Kyrie Irving, with Ben Simmons, and with whatever version of this roster you're going to have, presumably for the next season at a minimum, under Steve Nash.
Yeah, look, everyone thinks you want to be able to, a super cool superpower would be to read people's minds, until you just get into someone's minds. You're like, whoa, no thanks.
Good Lord, that was dark.
That got weird fast. Like, you know, there's a right. Everyone wants the transparency until you get it, because sometimes you get that transparency and it just looks like, you know, no one really kind of knows what's going on, or there doesn't seem to be a plan, or like now you have to, you feel like you're reactionary. Like, the old sales thing is like, you know, whoever brings up the problem first is the one who wins, right? And this is actually what, this is what happened with Kevin Durant here. It's like, that's why in sales pitches, you're always like, you, when you're talking with a client, you bring up the problem and then address it. Because the second they bring up the problem, it looks like you're backpedaling. And that's exactly right. That's exactly what the side thing looks like now. It's like, it just looks like backpedaling. It might be true, but because he kind of lost the narrative pretty quickly, and then you respond to it, you look like backpedaling. It's like the oldest sales trick in the book, and it's just why in all forms of persuasiveness, it's better to address this stuff first, and they just lost that piece of it.
And I know we'll go a little bit long on this, but that final statement, like, that's what it's about. It's about perception. It's a PR battle at this point. And that's, I think, what annoys me on all sides of this. Nobody gives a crap right now. Everyone does, but you know what I mean? No one gives a crap about the end result. It's about looking the best and coming out being like, well, we all knew it. Sean Marks and the Josiah and the Brooklyn Nets, what a total disaster. They blew it. Kevin Durant, blah, blah, blah. When at the end of the day, you and I have talked about this extensively over this run. It just feels like when this thing all kicked off, when they signed Kyrie and it got them Kevin Durant, almost everything after the announcement of signing them was this slow burn to something that was never going to end with a championship. Like, it was every time we got our hopes up, it was an injury, somebody wants out, someone isn't working. You know, it never felt like it was going to get there. And sometimes, man, listen, you go back in the history of sports, not every, you know, super team that gets compiled ends in the goal of a championship. Some of them burn out and fizzle, and this is going to be one of those examples. And in some ways, man, I take solace in the fact that we're getting closer to the end of this portion of the Brooklyn Nets franchise, because at least it means we get to have a different discussion and move on from this narrative, something that we're going to have to cover. But again, like, it's not, I love Kevin Durant. I wish he was a Brooklyn Net for life. It's not going to happen. So let's get to the next chapter.
Hey, you know what? You know who does love it? The YouTube stuff, man. The YouTube numbers absolutely bonkers over the last couple of days. Really appreciate it. Make sure you go check us out on YouTube. Go subscribe. Just so appreciative that everyone's over there. I mean, yesterday was one of our biggest days ever. Only continue to grow. Have people reach out and say, you know, they were hearing us about us from different places, and that's just all you out there listening. And we just are so appreciative of it, and we love coming on and talking about it. And this is just a reflection of that. So make sure you subscribe over on YouTube. Subscribe or ever listen to the podcast as well. Give us a follow on Twitter at Locked On Nets, at Adam Arbrecht, at Doug Norrie. Those are the free ways you help the podcast. Subscribe on Twitter. Subscribe wherever you listen to the podcast.
I'll just regress, because I feel like I've made myself perfectly redundant. Charlie Kelly.
Oh, one of the all-time great poets. We will be back again tomorrow. The gang all gets traded.
Is all
we'll
here.
Be back again tomorrow talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.